Yes, I guess I think it's good Steve brought up some of the things that have fallen to the wayside since we've decided that this is actually the GAC consensus working party at this point. But I think there's another concept that has gotten a little less play than I expected. Actually originated with Alan, was this notion of how do we get the board to initiate an action? Everything has become about review, but there are certain instances in which we want the board to be proactive, and a number of stress tests that kind of require that as well. Stress test 11, which is about forcing ICANN to implement a recommendation arising from an AOC review, such as the SSR review. 17, force ICANN to respond to recommendations from the advisory committees, such as ESSAC. And then there's a few others, 3 and 4, that are about implementing consensus policy or recommendation of an AOC review. So there are a number of stress tests that have to do with when recommendations have been made and the board has simply chosen to do nothing, and so there's no trigger for an IRP or any other kind of a review-based process. And it was Alan, I think, originally said, we need a mechanism to spur them at least to consider something, because then once they're on the books, then they're subject to all the other mechanisms that we've designed. But thus far, we don't have a way to even get them to draw a line in the sand.
Great. So, Jonathan, I believe there are 6 of them you said that count on the ability to force the board.
Yeah,
I
that's
get it.
right. There are 6 that I found. I mean, I guess I make no claims that that's comprehensive, but it was 11, 17, and 3, 4, 20, and 22 are the ones that I found that count on an ability of the community to kind of induce action on the part of the board.
Why don't we start with 17? It's on page 5 as an example. Yeah, for those of you on the on dial-in, 17 said that the stress test would be if ICANN attempted to add a new top-level domain in spite of security and stability concerns expressed by the technical community or other stakeholder groups. The consequence is that DNS security stability would be undermined. ICANN could impose costs and risks on external parties. And when we have discussed this in the 3 or 4 times of the stress test team, we cited the collisions and certificate, internal certificate problems that the new gTLD program is examples where the ESSAC had given very clear advice that didn't seem as if it was being acted upon by management in the composition of the guidebook. And it took quite a stir of public opinion to finally get some action to not delegate things like .home, .corp, to force the certificate authorities to embark upon a multi-month program of sunsetting some old certificates, if you recall that. I mean, there may be other examples
yeah,
as well.
That's a crazy process. I mean, another example was dotless domains. I'm sure Cheryl will remember the brouhaha around that.
Oh, yeah.
And what sort of extreme measures it took to get the board to pay attention to ESSAC recommendations and community preferences on the issue of dotless domains and the not only security issues but also sort of the internet writ large issue of a particular registry owning a word on the internet as a result of a dotless domain. So I mean there was a lot of discussion, a lot of op-eds, and ALAC put together a paper on it. That may even be a more powerful example that everybody remembers. I don't know.
I think it is. We should feature that example in the center column.
Yep.
On test 7. Yeah. Even if we put it in addition to collisions, it's something that is an example where the board didn't take a decision. I don't know the history well enough. But what Jonathan's bringing up are situations where the board didn't take a decision, it didn't take any action at all, and thereby the proposed accountability mechanism in the far right-hand column is, here's the way we wrote it several weeks ago, to to empower the community to force ICANN to respond to recommendations from advisory committees such as ESSAC. So if that community power were being developed, this is an instance where it's essential to have that power, because absent a board decision, we can't use, there's no trigger. In other words, the board, we can't do a reconsideration or an IRP unless the board takes a decision. But what do we do when the board simply ignores ESSAC advice? One of the first line in this box over here to you, Aubrey, is, did ATRT2 have a specific recommendation on forcing implementation of advice or forcing implementation of recommendations arising out of an ATRT?
Excuse me. This is Aubrey. Were you asking, at first I thought you were asking a different question. Did the ATRT have something about forcing acceptance of advice from an AC versus forcing advice from an ATRT?
Great. Yeah,
in both cases, the answer is no. But in terms of the advisory committee, while we tried to get an equal standard for all advisory committees, as the GAC might have, that didn't fly, because then the GAC would have needed more. And if you go back to the conversations, you'll see that that was the issue, that if you give all the ACs the same as GAC, well, then GAC needs something further. But we did manage to get as far as the board had to acknowledge and respond. So they got kind of like half the treatment, and that's about as far as we were able to get in the last ATRT. So at least they have to pay attention now, and they have to respond, but they don't have to do that extra negotiation bit if they don't follow.
Aubrey, just to clarify, ATRT2, final recommendation, included one that compels the board to acknowledge and respond to advice from an AC. Is that right?
Yep. I can get you the exact word and numbering in a second, but it'll take me a second. I don't remember numbers that well.
Well, that could really be helpful.
Sure.
Because if that were in place, and again, that was adopted. ATRT2 recommendations were approved by the board. They may not have been implemented yet, but they are standing policy for ICANN. Correct?
I actually think that one was implemented already, but I'll confirm.
Steve, I'm just going to pop myself in the queue here briefly. Sorry, Jonathan, I just jumped you. I'll stand back and let you go ahead. You may very well be saying what I'm about to. Jonathan, over to you, and then I'm in the queue.
Oh, I just wrote it. I guess my question is going to end up being a legal question, which is whether a response, if it's sufficiently official, is enough to trigger one of the review mechanisms that we have under discussion, or do we need the board to go as far as making some sort of a resolution or taking a vote on a recommendation from ESSAC or others in order to have something to review.
Thanks, Jonathan. And I think what we might do is have a little, not quite an action item yet, but a small scratch pad where we can note some particular questions to raise with legal. And I think a somewhat similar question, or it could be a part A, part B story, is whether or not we can ensure that there is a response which relates to inaction of the board, not just responses that are triggered by an action of the board. So we might need to have that looked at as well. The reason I wanted to pop myself in the queue, however, was because thanks for that, Avery has just put into the chat the particulars that she was just referring to. With this particular proposed measures enhance community power to mitigate the risks of this scenario, that, I think, needs firming up. This is one of those on review, even at this stage, in Stress Test 17 under the conclusion bars. that we can probably predict, subject, of course, to legal advice, that we are identifying a potential gap here in terms of a response to inaction. I think if we get to the point where they've interacted on advice, discussed, and then somehow that reaction may or may not be classified as somewhat of a trigger for something, that's a nice discussion to have. But right now, I agree with you, Jonathan, it just doesn't seem like there's enough of a trigger. Or if there is a response to this issue, it is a far more high consequence one, such as proposals that would involve mechanisms to spill the whole board, which is a little bit like using a laser to cut butter. Under these circumstances, there needs to be a more interactive and a more, pardon the pun, lower level than spilling the whole board, because I think that could be done in response to inaction, if general community dissatisfaction was a result of this inaction. But that's a fairly serious outcome. So we need something, I think, in that last box that indicates that that's a gap we've probably identified. Okay, back to you, Steve.
Thanks, Cheryl. So on stress test 17, the first example Jonathan brought up, there were three mechanisms in the right-hand box. The first mechanism was to force ICANN's board to implement, and forcing it to implement is a different kettle of fish than forcing the board to acknowledge and respond to advice. So forcing it to implement, the first one said, forced to implement a recommendation arising from either a PDP or an affirmation of commitments review. And this is wrapped up in the powers that are in the affirmation for the ATRT team, because it's supposed to review whether the board implemented previously approved recommendations of itself and other review teams. I don't think that's the same as having the power to force implementation. Again, the forcing of implementation was something that Alan Greenberg brought up in Frankfurt, and I don't believe that either work party one or two, has done any planning or design on that first mechanism of forcing implementation. Does anyone know otherwise whether that has happened? And if not, this falls into the bucket of notifying the rest of our CCWG that we assume that power will not be part of the first cut. And then we turn to the second element in this box, to empower the community to force ICANN to respond to recommendations from advisory committees such as SSAC. And as Aubrey indicated, our suspicions were right. ATRT has that in it, and it was approved already, although I don't think that the bylaws change has been made yet. So we would want to cite ATRT 2, paragraph 9, and explain our concern that that's not been implemented. But now we get to the third element in here, that if the board acknowledged and responded by not taking a decision, we get to Jonathan's key question, and is that enough for us to trigger an IRP or reconsideration? Is the linkage there? And I'll stop, Jonathan, and turn it over to you.
Sorry, I didn't take myself off mute. All I was going to say is that we don't necessarily need this to be about compelling a particular outcome. If we want to make this a softer touch accountability mechanism, it doesn't need to be about compelling a particular outcome, but just any outcome. Whatever that level is that triggers, so that the board opens themselves up to the world of other review mechanisms that are currently being discussed. So just asking them to formally make a decision about something, any decision at all, is all that the community would really need the power to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is Steve. Does that suggest, as Keith has indicated in the chat, that we would need to say to Work Party 2, who's designing the reconsideration and IRP, we need to say to Work Party 2, please look at ATRT paragraph 9 and this notion of the board having to acknowledge and respond to formal advice from NAC and asking them to create, to ensure that that is a sufficient trigger for IRP and reconsideration, that if the board failed to accept or take a decision on formal advice from NAC, does that begin to make the trigger a little more clear and usable?
Well, or even if they follow the you know, number nine and respond, what I guess the question is what the nature of that response would need to be to trigger a review mechanism.
Mm-hmm. So the word decision might be written in the reconsideration in IRP, but we'd like to say that decision or response.
Maybe, right.
Because in this particular box, if you get rid of the first one, Alan Greenberg's force implementation, get rid of the first one, we are only left with ATRT 2, paragraph 9, and the hopeful sense that this trigger will be sufficient for us to have a reconsideration or IRP. So here, it would be fatal. If the work parties do not proceed with a forced implementation, then we must have clarity about triggers. Triggers could be done on decisions or responses of the board, or else we would end up failing a critical stress test.
Several of them.
Yeah, are there others that we want to go over as well, Jonathan?
Could we look to 11 as well? My rationale there is, of course, that those 17 and 11 are included in both Jonathan's list of six, but also the CWG listing of critical to them, and they've got publishing deadlines looming even ahead of our own, so...
Then scroll to the prior page, everyone. Number 11 was compromise of credentials. I believe this was added in December in response to ICANN's security breach. Take a look at the proposed mechanisms. They fell into two categories, Cheryl. There was internal personnel procedures versus external SSR decisions. And you can see in there, we have, regarding DNS security, empowering the community to force ICANN's board. That's the Alan Greenberg one that has not been developed. Second one is identical to what Jonathan brought up on stress test 17. And Matthew gave us two other proposals, neither of which has been developed by anyone. So we would fail this one as well. That's a great point. All right, so I can see what's going to happen here is that I need to prepare a draft note for the stress test team to examine, and the note would then be sent to the full CCWG. We'd identify the community veto and the forced implementation as mechanisms that we understand may not make the cut. In the case of community veto, it isn't fatal, but in the case of the forced implementation, it'll probably be fatal on at least two and perhaps more of these six stress tests. And so that... The ask would be that work party one or two make sure that the language on reconsideration and IRP can be triggered by the board's response to formal advice of an AC, and that we not be lacking for a trigger just because they failed to take a formal decision.